Morning. Lord willing, we'll sing the last verse of that song, 579, which has kind of become the, I would call it, from my perspective, the theme song on the book of Joshua as we've been going through it. But I'd like to read the fourth verse here before we sing it at the end, time allowing. And it says this, standing on the promises, I cannot fall. Listening every moment to the Spirit's call, but this part in particular, resting in my Savior as my all in all, standing on the promises of God. Now, there's a lot of things that are happening in the world nowadays. Some things we are probably true. Some things may not be true. Some things we don't know, you know. One of those is that we know it's been raining a lot in California this year, right? And thank goodness we have a sunny day here today. But so much so that if you've been following the news, that the dams pretty much across the state, save a few around Santa Barbara, are pretty much at 100% right now. As one writer said, the dams being full in February is not good. The dams being full in June is good. And if you follow the news this week too, Governor Brown announced that we're going to, for at least 279 more days, I believe that's the number that sticks in my head, we're going to follow all the drought restrictions statewide. The same week, if we've been seeing the news, in the last few days, Lake Oroville has set the tallest dam in the entire United States, even taller than Hoover Dam, overflowed, yet I think Saturday, yeah. They can't contain how much water is coming out at this point. So somewhere in the middle of that is the truth somewhere, but I could go into a diatribe of what I think is the truth. You guys can probably figure it out just knowing who I am, but I'm not going to do that. Because I definitely don't want to turn political right now, but it's not a political thing I'm saying. I'm saying it's been raining, guys. Thank the Lord that we've had a lot of rain. We have been without rain for a long time. But there's something we can trust in what we hear. And I hope today, and I'm going to say this right up front, there's no reason that no matter what we came in with and no matter what's troubling us, that we shouldn't walk out of here just by God's grace, just a little bit transformed today by the Word of God, because these promises are true. And they're for us, regardless of what our circumstances may be, regardless of what is going along around with the people that are around us, or maybe regardless even some tragedies or successes that we've had in our lives. And so I'm going to tell you really what the title of the message is today. And the title of the message is Rest and the Promises of God. So let's go ahead and have a word of prayer before we start. Lord, we are so grateful today that we can come to you, that we can take and learn of you, Lord, from your word, from one another, Lord, just for the wonder of who you are. But now we do tell you before many witnesses, we lift our hands and our head and we say we need you. We need you for anything that is genuine, anything that is real, anything that is peaceable and is from above, Lord, we need, because you're the author of every good thing. So we want your goodness to overshadow us today. We want your presence to lead us, so to speak, Lord, as we go through this book. So, Lord, we commit our time to you in Jesus' name. So we're going to be in the book of Joshua. We're going to skip forward a little bit. We're not going to go over the Levites' possession of the their own cities, except that we'll say that the Levite cities were 48 in all. They were the last to receive their inheritance, the allotment of their inheritance. And there were six cities that were the cities of refuge. And that was our message last time. And if you missed it, I mean, it helps to kind of get the message before to get where we are going this week and probably even into the next message. So, and what we had said last time, and we say it again, is that we're all now in the new covenant. We're all Levites. We're all kings and priests, as the Revelation says, unto our God. And God has put us in the world to be a light to the world, to share the gospel, to actually be an example by our lives, Lord willing, is a testimony to the testimony of Jesus. So we're going to actually pick up in verse 43 through 45, and these are going to be the only verses out of Joshua pretty much that we're going to reference. Chapter 21. Verses 43 through 45. And right away I told an untruth because I'm going to reference other verses in Joshua. But let's read that. So the Lord gave to Israel all the land of which he had sworn to give their fathers, and they took possession of it and dwelt in it. The Lord gave them rest all around according to all that he had sworn to their fathers. And not a man of their enemies stood against them. The Lord delivered all their enemies into their hand. Verse 45, not a word failed of any good thing which the Lord had spoken to the house of Israel. All came to pass. Now, so the Lord gave to Israel all of the land which he had sworn to give to their fathers. Let's turn back to Genesis chapter 12. Beginning in verse 1. Now the Lord had said to Abram, get out of your country from your family and from your father's house to a land that I will show you. To make you a great nation, I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. So Abraham departed as the Lord had spoken to him, and Lot went with him. And Abraham was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. And Abram took Sarai, his wife, and Lot, his brother's son, and all their possessions that they had gathered, and the people whom they acquired in Haran, and they departed to go to the land of Canaan. So they came to the land of Canaan. Abram passed through the land to the place of Shechem. Now let me first of all just say, last week, what is one of the cities of refuge? Shechem. Nothing is put in the Word of God by accident. We think it is, but it really isn't. It should give us great confidence, especially as we speak to others and we share the Word of God. Sometimes, you know what? It's very important to give our testimony, and I won't ever belittle that, but it's also important to sneak in the Word of God where we can when we're given a testimony, because the Word of God we know is powerful. It's eternal. And it has a way of doing a work all on its own in a person's heart. So, to the land of Shechem, as far as the Tebarinth tree of Morah, and the Canaanites were there in the land. Then the Lord appeared to Abram and said to your descendants, I will give this land. And there he built an altar to the Lord who had appeared to him. So it's a fulfillment of this covenant to God's covenant people, which we know we are. We can go to all the references We don't need to for the sake of where we're headed with this message, but we are God's people. Now, also about this, is we try to make sense of certain things. We are the true Israel, right, as the people of God. Well, I also believe, I have to tell you from the Word of God, and there's some controversy here, but I'll give you my opinion, is I believe that God is still going to raise up a remnant amongst the Jews. I do believe that. I believe that's taught in the New Testament. Let me tell you what I believe also from reading the Word of God. This is very important. You might hate what's going on in our nation right now. I know quite a few of you do. You've been vocal about it, about who's the president of the United States. But listen to what it says here. I will bless those who bless you. I will curse him who curses you. Now listen, this is important to understand. God views things differently than we view things. He views us as his covenant people, but I believe Israel is very important still. Some Christians don't believe that. I do believe it is important. I believe those that curse Israel bring trouble upon their country. That's what I believe, according to the promise here in the Word of God. Let's go over to Numbers. I believe it's Numbers 24. Somebody that tried to curse Israel. And this is Balaam trying to open his mouth and curse the Israelites. God is not a man that he should lie. Verse 19 of chapter 23, actually. God is not a man that he should lie, nor a son of man that he should repent. Has he said and will he not do? This is important on today's message. Has he said and as he will he not do? Or has he spoken and will he not make it good? Behold, I have received a command to bless. He has blessed and I cannot reverse it. There's the promise for God's people. He has not observed iniquity in Jacob, nor has he seen wickedness in Israel. The Lord his God is with him, and the shout of a king is amongst them. What a wonderful thing. The shout of the Lord Jesus is with us here this morning. Might not feel like it. We might have been going through some awful dark things, but the shout of a king is here. I wish I could just shout and scream and run in the parking lot, but that's not going to do it. But I mean, you see what I'm saying? It's real. The Lord Jesus is in our midst. The shout of a king is with us, and God sees this. Very important that we stand on these promises. What God has said, God will do, is what Balaam said. He's not going to relent. Now, this is seems like a contradiction. Let's go back to the book of Joshua. And man, I know you guys went through, I forget where, I think in Pomona you went through the book of Joshua, didn't you? You did, okay. But we know there's quite a lot of failures here. Let's see, I think it's verse... I'm trying to figure it out as I go. Sorry about that. It's because it's a repeated theme. Chapter 15, there it is, verse 63. And this is about the inheritance right away of the children of Judah, who was first. And as for the Jebusites, the inhabitants of Jerusalem, the children of Judah could not drive them out, but the Jebusites dwell with the children of Judah at Jerusalem to this day. Okay, and then to the children of Joseph in chapter 16, verse 10. And they did not drive out the Canaanites who dwell in Gezer, but the Canaanites dwell among the Ephraimites to this day and have become forced laborers. In chapter 17, children of Manasseh says, verse 12, Yet the children of Manasseh could not drive out the inhabitants of those cities, but the Canaanites were determined to dwell in that land. And it happened when the children of Israel grew strong that they put the Canaanites to forced labor, but they did not utterly drive them out. And so forth as we go on. And so we come back to chapter 21, verses 43 through 45 of the book of Joshua, where we're going to speak about, so the Lord gave Israel the land which he had sworn to their fathers, and they took possession. And he gave them rest all around. And not a single man of their enemies stood against them. The Lord delivered their enemies into their hand. Not a word failed of any good thing which the Lord had spoken to the house of Israel. Let me say this. There's absolutely no contradiction in what's written here and what was happening with the people of God. I hope that can sink in a little bit. There's absolutely zero contradiction on what is written right here. Now, what do I mean? Well, we know that God's in the business, as Balaam has said, of keeping his promises. And God was kept his part of the bargain. His promise to Abraham was kept. It was 7 years they've been fighting, at least now during this time. And they were going to settle down into their homes. Now, they had settled down and allowed some stuff, and we could go into that. That's it, really the book of Judges, what goes on after this. But God is in the business of keeping his promises. And he, for his part, has given us the land. All of the land, as it says. And we know that when Jesus was on the cross, who's the greater fulfillment of what we're talking about, he said a few simple words. And what are they? It is finished. It's done. Jesus saying it is finished is the same thing as what this is saying in 43 through 45 of chapter 21 of the book of Joshua. It is finished. He's given us all the land. Now, in perspective of what we're reading in Joshua, listen. John 16:33. You don't have to turn to it, but listen to what Jesus says. These things I have spoken to you. Now, well, I want to just stop right there, because what he means when he says that, and I think we've come to know by experience to be true, the promises of God, specifically as they relate to peace and the rest of God, are very important. If we don't see that these two are connected, we're not going to rest in him. That's why Jesus said this. These things I have spoken unto you, that in me you may have peace. Can we be unequivocally clear here about something? I love the Bible. It's absolutes. Don't you love it? There's so many things which we're not sure. We're not sure. Maybe we are in a drought a little bit still. I don't understand the science behind that thing. Sure doesn't look like it. But there's no peace anywhere, anyhow, any place outside of the Lord Jesus. Look, we all buy into this lie a little bit somehow. We get used to our routines and ways of life in some way until some curveball is thrown our way and it's coming right at our head, and somehow the person that had the ability to throw it at 90 miles an hour, we're not getting out of the way. But there's peace only in one place. Now listen, he also said this. Here's another absolute statement by the Lord here in John 16:33. In the world, you will. You will have tribulation. Not you if, not when, you will. No man ever spoke like Jesus. Nobody can take a single sentence and put so much into it. but be of good cheer. It is finished. Otherwise, he's saying, I have overcome the world. So the whole basis of us overcoming is the fact of the life of Christ. He is our picture of Canaan land, so to speak. Our rest and our peace is in Jesus. We know this. I'm preaching to the choir a little bit, but you know what? I think we need to be reminded of it often. This is why we have the table on Sunday mornings. He's the object of our peace. When he came back, and the very first thing almost he did is he said, peace to you. But he didn't just do that. We know the story. He pointed to his wounds. He pointed to his hands and to his side. And he said, these are the objects of your peace. And you know what? They're always going to be the objects of our peace, even through eternity, I believe. They say that in the book of Revelation, they looked on him who is pierced. Somehow, there's a picture of this still. The Lord Jesus, we know in Hebrews chapter 4, let's read it briefly, 8 through 12. And I'm not going to really be talking about, maybe typically, about how this is talked about, Hebrews 4. Oh my gosh. I should have bookmarked all these. Let's see here. Everyone's getting there quicker than me. Hebrews 4, 8 through 12. For if Joshua had given them rest, then he would have not afterward have spoken of another day. And the reference is Joshua chapter 22 here. There remains therefore a rest for the people of God. For he who has entered his rest has himself also ceased from his works, as God also did from his. Let us be diligent to enter that rest, lest anyone fall according to the same example of disobedience. Now listen to this. I don't want this to be separated, at least for today and for today's message, because many of us know the next verse. But in context, it should be connected to the verses before it. For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing into the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the hearts and intents of the heart. And can we say in relation to today, so important for rest for us as God's people. If we don't see that, this is what he's saying. To enter his rest, the word of God is tied at the hip, so to speak, to our rest. And the picture that we see here in the book of Joshua is the greater picture of our rest in the Lord Jesus and the fact that he's accomplished it all. It should give us all a lot of confidence. We should go out of here and we should have the shout of every one of us as we go out of here today. We have the shout of a king amongst us, but we should be doing a little bit of shouting ourselves. You know that? The enemy's pulled a trick on us. We've got all of heaven on our side. When Jesus said it's finished, it's finished. We take him at his word when it comes to the promises of God. Now, a key verse that I want us to look at specifically and even analyze it a little bit today in reference to where we are in Joshua chapter 21 is Matthew 11:29. And it says this, and please, let's really try to keep in mind everything we said, as the Lord helps, of what we've already said this morning. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Now, the first word I want to look at is take. Now, take's a verb. It's something we have to do. Jesus, I don't know how he does it again. No man ever spoke like Jesus. The words and the concepts and how he speaks is flat from heaven. You know, it's the word became flesh and dwelt amongst us, as the Apostle John said. But take my yoke upon you. So take. And so we take the Lord's table. It's a taking. It's a partaking. It's a participation. The land's been conquered. Canaan is there for our taking, so to speak. But we have to take of the Lord Jesus. Here's the other thing that jumps out at me. My yoke upon you and learn from me. Now, none of us has it all together. That would be a complete lie. But we're learning. You know who else had to learn? A man that spoke like this, like no man ever spoke. He had to learn. The Bible says now I'm going to bring a message on obedience. I'm not there yet because it's going to come after we go out of the book of Joshua, and it's going to be things from the book of Joshua, but it's really not about obedience. I'm going to give you a little hint. It's about learning. It's about love. It's about abiding, which we'll get at. But it is about obedience. It's the Bible says Jesus had to learn obedience even through the things he suffered, even to the point of the death on the cross. And I will give the hint away right now in that message. There's no other way of learning for us either. What was good enough for Jesus is good enough for us. This is the way we learn. But he's gentle and lowly in heart. Everything that I'm not, naturally speaking, the Lord Jesus is. You know, with the person of Moses, we see, right? He was called the meekest man on the face of the earth. Well, you know what? Moses met his match, and then some, times a thousand. There's a man seated in heaven who has ceased from his works that's the meekest man who ever lived, the Lord Jesus. Now, we have a lot to learn from him. You know, it's just the way it is. And that's a wonderful thing. We're going to learn, and I say this on good authority, the authority of the Word of God, we're going to learn about Jesus through eternity. As I say it, I can't even believe it practically, but it's going to be true. We're going to learn about Jesus throughout eternity. He's got a little head start on us. But we have to come to him. You see? We can't ignore him as believers. There's great danger there. That's the warning of the book of Hebrews. We have to come. That's it. Just have to come. As we are. As great sinners. We have to come to him as our sanctuary city. We have a sanctuary. Doesn't matter what's happened. And you know what we find? Another thing that's not found anywhere else on the earth, rest for our souls. Is that a good thing? There's the shout of us, to be frank, but the shout of a king amongst us that we find rest for our souls. We have the secret to life. I'm not ashamed to say we do. We've been given the person of the Lord Jesus in this earthen vessel, and we need to be sharing as God gives us grace more and more. But here's the problem. And these... Be praying. We think that our sins are the problem to our peace. And they can be, in a certain sense. But you know, think of it. Let me put it this way. We think that our sins can keep us from a rest in Christ. I guess they can to a certain extent, because we have peace as a believer. Let me proclaim something that is true in the Word, and we know we have peace with God by the fact that Christ died for us. He showed us his wounds. He's resurrected. We're in Canaan's land, but our sin can keep us from peace with God, or the peace of God, let's put it that way, as the scripture says. So we can lack peace. But I would say, well, let's just go on to the next thing. The important thing, much more important than our sins, is our coming to him. Far greater than all of my sins, as the hymn says, right? He's far greater than all. We have to just come as we are. Now, we might be thinking as we're sitting here, well, I'm not troubled by that as much. I'm troubled by the sins of somebody else that is close to me. Day in and day out, I'm haunted by something that's going on, you might be thinking. You're in travail. And we might think that that's keeping us from peace with God. But in reality, it's not. Again, it's coming, not coming. Or we could say our circumstances are keeping us from peace with God. We could even say that some tragedy that has come into our lives is keeping us from peace with God. But I don't see any of those things listed in the promise of Matthew 11:29. Not a single one. Matthew 11:29 again says this. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Now, let me put it another way, and to be kind of clear. If we believe our sins are the reason for our lack of rest, I'm going to say, according to the Word of God, according to Joshua chapter 21, according to what we've already read, that's a lie. I hope we hear this. That is a lie from the pit. The problem is not taking to the Lord Jesus, not coming to him just as we are. That's the problem. God's done all of his part. He's already given us the land. The work's finished. So that's a false belief. If we believe because of what somebody else is going on, maybe somebody very dear and close to us has fallen away, is walking away from the Lord, and is doing their thing, so to speak, as we've all done to one extent or another, that keeps us from a lack of rest. You know what we need to do? We need to say with our lips and confess with our mouth, that's a lie. My rest is only in the person of the Lord Jesus. It's found no other place. It's not found in my family. It's not found in the world. It's not found anywhere. Again, if we believe our circumstances, I think sometimes we feel, in fact, we get tricked. We think our circumstances, you know, if they're bad, that can keep us from rest. But you know what? Sometimes when things are all going hunky-dory and it seems like everything's going good, that is where maybe we're even more susceptible to problems. But if we believe in any way that it keeps us from the rest that's only found in Christ, that's a false belief. We need to come to grips with that. We all have these things in our lives. I mean, this comes first with me and then to you guys. That all of us struggle with these things. How do we find our rest for our souls in the Lord Jesus and him alone? Even a horrible tragedy, God forbid that it happens, but it has happened. If we believe that keeps us from God, what is that? That's a false belief. And I know I'm preaching to the choir, and I loved what Ed Miller said this summer. Maybe if you're going through a travail or a trial that seems like it'll never end, God knows your faith and that you're not denying him and that you can take this, and there's an exercise of your faith, and there's a growth. You know, what zeal, what, as the Apostle Paul said, what vindication of who you are as saints when many trials beset us, and you know what? We can look back, and in fact, I'm just going to go to the end game right here. It's easy to do, right? I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to guarantee you something. Guaranteed, and I'm not selling you something that you don't know that's true, okay? When we're in heaven, we're going to know that beyond any shadow of a doubt, God's worked out everything according to his will. He was actually in control of everything. All the things we went through, they had to first go by the throne. Every trial we've gone through, everything that's happened to us has gone by. And we're going to shout. We're going to realize it was all a good thing. And we'll realize that nothing kept us from the love of Christ. The tragedies actually drive us deeper into the love of Christ. Wouldn't we say that? I mean, I think we would. But let's go back to Joshua chapter 21, and we'll stay there. And the Lord gave, verse 44, the Lord gave them rest all around according to he had sworn to their fathers. According, again, to the promises of God. Not separate from the promises of God, according to the promises of God. So what we're going to say is, how important is the whole Bible? We have to think about that. I had somebody last night who's a believer, and they were honest, and I told them I was glad for their honesty. They said, haven't you ever doubted some of the things that are written in the Bible? Some of the things that are about your faith? And I said, of course. I wouldn't be an honest Christian to tell you no. I have questioned things from time to time. But that said, we can't pick and choose. There's no, can I say another absolute thing? Some guys probably want to run me out of this place, but let me say something absolutely. We cannot pick and choose what to believe out of the Bible. We just can't. I choose to believe every word, and I have it based on good authority. And you know who that authority is? The Lord Jesus. He said this, do not think that I came to destroy the law or the prophets. I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For assuredly I say to you, till heaven and earth pass away, not one jot or one tittle will by no means pass from the law until all is fulfilled. Pretty absolute. Jesus wanted to make it real clear, and he has a better way of saying it than me, that every word of, now this should help us again have confidence as we share and people bring some really hard things against us. We got to sneak the word of God in there because it's going to be important in its testimony to the person. It's eternal. Now, wait a minute, because we're going to hear, well, what, I mean, you really expect I'm supposed to believe that Jonah was swallowed by a great fish? You really believe that fairy tale? Well, Jesus, very specifically, and for great purpose, so that we knew the word of God is something not to be doubted. What did he say? Even as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the whale, so will the Son of Man be. So what did Jesus just do? He just told us that story's absolutely true. Here's the other thing. As in the days of Noah, right? What is one of the other things everybody says could never have happened? The ark. Could never have happened. What did Jesus do? With his words, he gave validity to the story. It really happened. It wasn't a fairy tale. These things are written for our instruction. But now listen, please listen to this. And this is where this poor sister was wavering. For us to be at peace with God, we have to stand on the promises of God. We can't pick and choose which ones we decide, of course, to do. Now look, to some extent, we've all done this a little bit. We have to stand on the Word of God, knowing that God's done His part. And His part is to us, His beloved. He's already promised us that He's never going to forsake us or leave us. He's with us. He's, you know, the girl, this sister asked me, and they said, what about this? Well, I said, here's one thing I've come to know as I'm getting older, and I praise God about it. I'm learning less to trust in myself and more that the Lord Jesus is trustworthy, that His word is trustworthy over everything that I might think or believe. First Thessalonians 5:24 puts it this way, He who called you will do it. It's the Lord's promises. Now, I'm not going to lie and say entering, in fact, that would be a lie of the scripture, that entering to the rest of God and what Jesus said so eloquently and so simply isn't going to take some battle. It's going to take some battle. We know what happened with the children of Israel. They settled down. They got comfortable. They stopped fighting. They accepted enemies that they should have never accepted, that God had already given them victory over in their lives. So let's, looking at this chapter again, verse 21, look at what he says. And not a man of all their enemies stood against them. The Lord delivered all their enemies into their hand. Now that is true. There's no contradiction there. Again, as we said, it's the picture of the cross. It's the picture of God giving us Canaan in Christ. So, let me put it this way. In the light of what we've read, in the light of the cross, and in light of verse 44, does the devil have any more claim to the life of the believer? He doesn't. But we're subtly what sometimes? If we're honest, and I know we've got an honest group of Christians in this lot, we're subtly tricked. Sometimes we don't believe this, but it is true. This is where the word of God is important for us to stand upon it. No enemy can stand against our Joshua, the Lord Jesus. And in light of this scripture, what about, like it talks about in the New Testament of not giving sin a foothold? Right? This is where we have to come. We have to come to the Lord Jesus. We know this. I'm preaching to the choir, but to get victory and to move away from things that may have a foothold in our lives, we have to come to Jesus. There's no other way. We're all, I think, just innately, the way we're made is a subtle trick. We somehow believe we'll systematically figure it out some other way. I mean, this. But here's the truth. God's already done it at the cross, but we have to come to him. And then, in a practical way, God delivers all of our enemies into our hands. See? This is Matthew 11:29. Learning of me. We can't do this without learning. We know this. We can't, without the learning, we can't, in learning from the Lord Jesus, not just Bible knowledge, learning of the Lord as we go through the Word. And I love what, again, 2 Peter 1:4 says. I'm just going to take a part of it and close with this. We have been given exceedingly great and precious promises. And these promises are meant for us to rest and find our rest. And find rest for us, because we're weary souls. I mean, naturally speaking. And this is a good thing. It's a good thing that we've come to realize that there's no peace outside of the Lord Jesus. Wouldn't you say, of us that are here? Isn't that something we can say we've learned through our lives as we're getting older? I didn't know that when I was 20. I was a new believer. I didn't get that. In fact, I wish I could have a do-over. Sort of speak, you know, but that's not how it works. But let's sing